Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 1 this evening. As we saw last week, Hebrews is a book about our Savior, primarily introducing His ministry as our great high priest in heaven, but introducing the person of Christ in so many different ways, emphasizing His deity. And one of the key words is the word priest, as we saw last week. And tonight we see more of this introduction of the person of Jesus Christ, exalting Him here in beginning in verse 4 where we finished last week. The Bible says, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. So I'm going to title the message, Worship Him. And let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Use Your word in our lives this evening. Thank You so much for this privilege. I just want to lift up our Savior and pray that as we do, we'll be drawn to Him. And we will grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you can see, more exaltation of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this passage. And the key phrase there in verse 6 says that all the angels of God worship Him. Worship Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. But it's important for us to understand that that is not true unless He is God. Because the Bible is very clear that only the Lord, Jehovah, is to be worshipped. And I would like us just to look at some scriptures on that this evening to make sure we understand it. So let's go to Exodus 34, where it kind of begins when God was giving the law to Moses, verse 14, and make sure we understand that when we read phrases like this in God's Word, that not only is man to worship Jesus, but even the angels are to worship Jesus, it is an unquestionable proof of His deity. So Exodus 34:14, notice what it says, For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Now that, you see, all caps, L-O-R-D, that is the Hebrew word Jehovah, Hebrew name Jehovah. So what Jehovah is saying is, we are to not worship any other God, ever. That is one of the commandments. Now if you go to Matthew 4, Jesus Christ, when He was tempted of the devil in the desert, He quoted the Old Testament as well regarding worship. And notice what He said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, speaking here to the devil who's tempting Him. He said, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus Himself is quoting the Old Testament, because remember, one of the temptations the devil said, if you will fall down and worship Me, I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. Christ's response was to say, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Now we have some examples in the Bible where people tried to worship the apostles, and they denied that worship. And I'll show you a couple of examples. Go to Acts chapter 10. It happened in Peter's ministry and it happened in Paul's ministry, the two primary figures of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, down to verse 25. It says, And as Peter was coming in, this is when God sent Peter to preach to Cornelius and his family. It says, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. So Cornelius didn't know any better. He was a Gentile. He wasn't saved yet. He thought it was okay to worship Peter, but it wasn't. And Peter basically grabbed him by the arm and pulled him up and said, You can't do it. Now over in Acts 14, we'll see it again, where the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, in one of their missionary journeys, the same thing happened down in verse 13 of Acts 14. It says, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein. They were going to worship them because they were healing people and working miracles. So they thought, well, they're obviously gods, so we've got to worship them. And so we see Peter, we see Paul and Barnabas denying worship. But if you go to Revelation 22, even in heaven, when the Apostle John was given a glimpse of heaven through the book of Revelation, he wrote it down. At one point, he tried to worship an angel. And look what happened, Revelation 22, verse 8. It says, and I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So even an angel denied worship. Why? He says, I'm just your fellow servant. I'm a created being as well. I may not be a human, but I'm your fellow servant. I'm here to serve God and please God, just like you. So if you go to Matthew 8 now, I just want to show you a couple of quick scriptures where Jesus Christ was worshipped, and never do we find Christ rejecting worship. Never do we find him rebuking anyone for worshiping him. He always accepted the worship. Here in Matthew chapter 8 is an example. Verse 1, and when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. If it wasn't right to worship Christ, right there was his opportunity to teach a lesson. But he did teach a lesson in that he accepted the worship. Now, Matthew 14 is another example, and we could do these all night. But I just wanted to show you just a couple of quick examples where Christ readily accepted worship while he was on earth in human form, again revealing his deity. Matthew 14, verse 33. Actually, look at verse 32. It says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So this is the disciples worshiping Jesus. And again, he accepted the worship. So back to our passage tonight, Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus Christ is to be worshiped. This is important for us as his children, that we understand that God wants us to worship Jesus every day. That it should be part of our lives to worship Jesus. And he gives us some of the reasons why. Some of the motivations behind this worship. And the first one we saw last week there in verses 2 and 3. And that is because Jesus Christ is the Creator. Remember in verse 2 the Bible says, hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus is worthy of our worship because he is the Creator. He is our Creator. He made the earth. He made the stars. He made everything. And so as the Creator, he is worthy of our worship. As we read in John chapter 1, verse 9, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1, verse 3, talking about Jesus Christ. So he is worthy of our worship because he's the Creator. But also look down in verse 8, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. So this is the Father speaking to the Son, saying, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So Jesus, as we've already explained, is worthy of our worship because he is Jehovah. He is God. And therefore he should be worshipped as God. Remember when he appeared to Thomas in that room? And Thomas fell down at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God," in John chapter 20, verse 28. He worshipped Jesus Christ because he recognized his deity after the resurrection. He didn't before, but finally he did. And two other scriptures, look at Isaiah 9, 6. Just again, driving home this beautiful point that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Jehovah. And that is one of the reasons why he's worthy of our daily worship. You know, we talk a lot about this at Christmas time. Oh, come, let us adore him. But we need to be worshiping Jesus every day. Magnify him. Lift him up. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus, two of Jesus' names there show his deity. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's Jesus. Those are two of his names. And as it says here in Hebrews 1:8, "Thy throne, O God." So Jesus is worthy of our worship, not only because he's our Creator, but because he is Jehovah. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness." So Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. He accepted worship. He's worthy because he's our Creator, because he's God. And lastly, Hebrews 1:8, it also says, "A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." The Bible always has so much to say about Jesus' kingdom, which has yet to come. It's in the future. But Jesus is worthy of our worship because he is King of Kings. The kingdom is his kingdom because he is the King, the only King. And let's see that in Revelation 17 tonight. That Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And we need to make sure that every day, some of that alone time that we spend with the Lord is not just spent asking for things, which we're told to do, we're told to pray, we're told to ask, but also spend some time worshiping Jesus Christ, exalting him, praising him. Notice Revelation 17, 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb," so we know who this is talking about, "and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." So he, the Lamb, is Lord of lords and King of kings. That's Jesus. Because he will reign. The Bible teaches forever and ever. About Isaiah 9:6, we just looked at it. It said the government should be upon his shoulder. If you look at the next verse, Isaiah 9:7, it says, "And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will especially see it as we walk through Hebrews, is worthy of our worship, worthy of all of our praise, all of our exaltation, all of our adoration, because he is our Creator, he is our God, and he is the King of Kings. He should be the King of our lives, the King of our hearts, but he is worthy of worship. And imagine, the Bible says, "Let all the angels of God worship him," which they do. But here we are, the redeemed, the children of God. Shouldn't we even more so worship him? As you know, the Bible talks about how the angels, in a way, I don't want to use the word jealous, but there are certain aspects of being a Christian that the angels can't relate to because they don't understand redemption, because they aren't sinners or they haven't sinned. And so they don't understand the power, the beauty, the majesty of being redeemed from hell, being redeemed from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can't remember where the verse is, but it says even the angels of God wish they could look into that. So here we are, the blood-bought children of God. We should want to worship him. Amen? Because of all he's done for us. So as God said, "Let all the angels of God worship him." He is our Creator. He is our God. He is our King. So let's every day worship Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.